A very good morning to you. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording from Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Nazir Yud Beis, Nazir 12b, pagination is 24. At the bottom of the page, four lines up, Masnisin, the new Mishnah. Hareini Nazir. If a person says, I shall be a Nazir, but he has a condition, L'cheshiyiyeh li bein, when I have a son, V'nolad lo bein, and then a son is born to him, Hareza Nazir, he is going to be considered a Nazir. The Gemara wonders what the Chiddush over here is. Isn't this obvious? He made a condition, a son. And the Gemara discusses the concept that Bain has a theme of Licheshe Evne, when I will be built, meaning when there will be some continuity to me, and maybe by expression, the word Ben would include even a daughter being born, but the Mishnah is teaching us that we take the word Ben on a technical level, and his condition was a son be born, and then he would be a Nazir. Tosfos points out that the underlying theme of the case is that the person is expressing Hoda'a v'shevach l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's promising a degree of praise, thanks to Hashem. He's going to become what he perceives as a more spiritual human being if he has the son. Shechanani v'ziknani v'zikani v'nolad libein, that he merited to have this son, and therefore the Nazirus hinges on this condition. The Mishnah tells us, nolad lo bas, if he would have a daughter, so then he would not be a Nazir, because the terms of his Nazirus expression were not met. Likewise, if a Tumtum or an Androgynous were born, Tumtum is a case where the working assumption is that the child is either male or female, but we don't know which one because a membrane is covering over. Androgynous is that the child actually has indications of being both, and the working assumption is that an androgynous, in English, a hermaphrodite, is a beria b'fnei atzmo, is a unique creation of its own. Therefore, for example, the working assumption in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, the laws of shofar, are that androgynous motzi esmino, an androgynous is able to blow shofar for someone like him because they're in the same category, they're both in the status of androgynous. But a tumtum, since we're not sure whether it is male or female, it could be that one of them is male, could be the other one is female, we don't know. And therefore, tumtum afilu esmino eino motzi. A tumtum would not even be able to blow shofar for his own type, someone in the same category as tumtum, because we could be that one of them is male and one is female. What's the difference? So we have to back up to appreciate what's the difference. Difference is that a man is obligated in blowing shofar. A woman typically will hear the shofar, but she's doing so voluntarily. She's not obligated because it's a mitzvah sasei shahazman grama. It's a time-oriented positive commandment which a woman is absolved. So even though the custom is generally that women do it, but they're not halachically obligated, and a person who is an eino mitzvah, a person who is not obligated, does not have that same obligation and therefore cannot blow shofar, generate an assistant type quality to someone who does have an obligation. A woman would therefore not be able to blow shofar for a man. A man who has the true obligation of blowing shofar, it's a truly obligatory upon him, he would be able to blow shofar and include a woman. Therefore, back to our case, a tumtum, who we're not sure if male or female, so then it could be the blower is female, the listener is male, and we have a problem, they're not going to be yotze. Therefore, tumtum, as much as they're in the same category, but it's only the same category, misafik, out of doubt. And therefore, they can't be motzi one another. Going back, androgynous, where they have both simonim, indications both of male and of female, so the ruling is that they are a unique creation, and they're all in the same category of being this unique creation. On a practical level, tumtum and androgynous are extremely uncommon. There are different types of issues that can come up, but the true case of tumtum and the true case of androgynous are very unusual. If you'd like to do additional reading on it, Rabbi Steinberg's Medical Encyclopedia, page 50, entitled Ambiguous Genitalia, can be helpful on the topic. Getting back to our Mishnah, if a person said that he's going to have a son, he's going to be a nazir, so nolad lo bas, if he has a daughter, or a tumtum, where it's ambiguous, or an androgynous, where both are present, eino nazir, he's not considered a nazir, because he said ben, a son, and none of these are definitive as a son. The daughter simply because she's a daughter, no problems. The tumtum, even though he might be a son, but it's not definitive enough to indeed categorize it as a fulfillment of his vow. And androgynous as well, our working assumption, it's a creation of its own. Eino nazir, he's not going to be considered a nazir. The Mishnah continues with a variation of the case, which would be more broad in its understanding. Im Omar, if he would have said, Kisheyiya li vlad, when I will have a child, so then afilu nolad lo bas, tumtum v'androgynous hareza nozir. Then, even if a daughter, or these unusual cases of tumtum and androgynous would occur, he would be a nazir because a child has been born. And child has broader guidelines in terms of fulfillment of his condition. The Mishnah Lemelech, commentary on the Rambam, in Nezirus Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin, poses an interesting question. What would happen if a person said, when I will have a son or a daughter, I shall be a nazir? And his question is, in that unusual case, that a tumtum is born, would the person be obligated to keep nazirus or not? So, if he says a son or a daughter, clearly, if a son is born, or if a daughter is born, he is going to have to be a nazir. Likewise, if an androgynous is born, where our working assumption is that an androgynous is neither male nor female, so our working assumption can very well be that he would not be a nazir. The question pertains to the case of tumtum, ambiguous genitalia, where our working assumption is that the child is indeed either a male or a female. We just don't know because there's a membrane covering over. And the question, therefore, is, was that a fulfillment of the conditional vow or not? A son or a daughter indeed was born to him. Perfect. It's either a son or it's a daughter. We don't know. And the Mishnah Lemelech kind of reaches out logically and says that it could very well be that a tumtum, even though he is either a boy or a girl, but it's not a fulfillment of the vow. Because when we're dealing with the conditional vow, it has to do with his intent. And his intent, when he says a son or a daughter, is either a son who can operate as a son, or a daughter that can operate as a daughter. I want to be able to marry them off, for example, go to chuppah with them. And I don't care if it's a son, and I'm the father, and I'm getting a daughter-in-law, or it's a daughter, and I'm walking her down to chuppah, and I'm getting a son-in-law. But it has to be either a son or a daughter, because we're dealing with a person's intent. In the words of the Mishnah Lamelech, Leben Olenekeva Vadois, a boy or a girl, but definitive. And therefore the Mishnah Lamelech leans in the direction of saying that it would not be a fulfillment of his conditional vow. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.